We are in Mark 15 today, and the story begins early. Darkness of night still covers the city of God, and the Jewish multitudes who have traveled to Jerusalem for Passover are tucked away in the homes of family and friends. The people sleep, but the Jewish leaders have been awake for some time, gathered at the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. There, in the dark hours before daybreak, a trial is underway. Jesus of Nazareth, a humble rabbi, stands accused, and the entire Sanhedrin and all the chief priests have gathered, hoping to make a conviction before the people of Jerusalem awake to see it. There is a delicate balance of power in Jerusalem, and it is not entirely clear who is the rightful ruler. There in the house of Caiaphas, the high priest exercises rule over the religious life of Israel, and the Sanhedrin meets to debate matters of doctrine. Yet the political power lies in the hands of the Romans, and the Jewish priests will have to bring their decision about Jesus from the house of the high priest to the palace of the Roman governor. His name is Pontius Pilate, charged with keeping the peace and passing judgment. And there is one more building to consider in this city, the temple of God, the place where God promised to dwell with his people. It was an awesome structure, with the outer courts, Solomon's colonnade, the grand room of the holy place, where the priests served, and where they would see the great veil, a curtain 60 feet tall, 30 feet wide, and 4 inches thick, separating every human from the room called the Holy of Holies. Behind that veil, God had promised, "There I will meet with you," God's presence, but none could enter save for the high priest just once each year. The veil that guarded it was an 1,800 square foot reminder that God is holy and that we are separated from him. Mark 15 begins very early in the morning, but much has already happened. After Jesus left the Passover meal with his disciples, they went to pray at the Garden of Gethsemane, though the disciples fell asleep. They awoke to a full battalion of soldiers, led out by Judas, along with several of the priests, to arrest Jesus. John records that when Jesus simply stated who he is, the entire group fell to the ground. Shaken but undaunted, the soldiers arrested him, and the disciples scattered. Jesus was taken before Caiaphas, the high priest. To read that part of the story, back up to Mark 14. One thing you'll notice, as accusations are hurled at Jesus, none of them stick. But what is most striking is the silence of Jesus. He hardly speaks. He gives a direct answer to only one question. "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus. And for this, and this only, the high priest condemns Jesus for blasphemy, for who he claimed to be. Watch this as you read through the trials. Jesus answers a select few questions. They all have one thing in common, one very important thing. Now it is daybreak, and Mark 15 opens. Very early in the morning, the chief priests, with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin, made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Again, Jesus will not speak up, but notice the one question that he does answer. "Are you the king of the Jews?" From his arrest and through his trials, Jesus answers the questions about who he is. Search the red letters. It were as though Jesus is saying that this one thing, this is what matters, who he is. And Pilate doesn't miss it. Every time he refers to Jesus from here on out, he calls him the king of the Jews. And for his part, Pilate does try to free Jesus. There was a custom each year at Passover to release a prisoner as a sign of peace. In verse 9, Pilate asks, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" But the priests convince the crowd to ask for Barabbas instead. And then verse 12, "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." And Pilate gives in. Jesus is flogged brutally and led away to the palace with a whole company of soldiers. In verse 17, they put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews," added to the mocking our senseless beating, insults, and spit. The callous cruelty of man. I don't know why it still shocks me, but it does. But notice the core of their mocking, the robe and the crown. They mock him as king. Jesus has made it clear who he is, and the guards make it just as clear what they think of it. The soldiers finish their sadistic fun and lead Jesus to a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. And in verse 24, they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. Crucifixion is a testament to the unashamed cruelty of mankind. It was a hideous punishment for crime, and the Romans wanted everyone to know exactly why each man was crucified. So in verse 26, the written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." The priests convicted Jesus because he claimed to be the Messiah, and Pilate crucified him with just one conviction, "The King of the Jews." The notice does not seem to impress those who stand nearby. They hurl insults at Jesus, mocking him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself." There is a sad irony in that statement. If only they would listen to their own words. Jesus did save others, and he was still doing it. Then in verse 33, "At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon." This darkness was no mere shadow or even eclipse. Passover happened at full moon, making an eclipse impossible. Luke's gospel makes this clear. For 3 hours, the sun stopped shining. Step across history for a moment and set yourself there on the hill of Golgotha, standing in torchlight at midday, the cynical conversation of mockers, the weeping of women. Before you, the cold confidence of the Roman guard, refusing to be shaken by a little darkness, and behind them, the cross. Forget for now your own bias, and just look on for a moment. What is happening? What have they done? What have we done? The sign above the bloody figure reads, "King of the Jews." Who is this man? Verse 34, "And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" There is some discussion among the onlookers about what Jesus means, but they determine to leave him alone. And then in verse 37, "With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.'" And so the man with the closest view of Jesus' death closes the story with a simple statement of who Jesus is. And just as you turn to walk away from it all, an onlooker next to you asks, "Who do you think he was?" Well, what about it then? Who was he? It would be a question that hung in the air over the entire city, from the palace of Pilate, as his wife questioned him, "What did you do with that man I warned you about?" to the house of the high priest, busy appeasing his own conscience, and in the homes of families still gathered for the feast, the memory still fresh of crying Hosanna to the new king, the hope so high, and the news of the trial almost unbelievable. Who was this man? And there in the temple, his priests scrambled to know how to respond to a situation for which there was no protocol. The veil was rent, the Holy of Holies, the presence of God was exposed. Who was this man? As many wondered, a man named Joseph from Arimathea, a member of the Jewish council, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. A centurion was sent to verify that the prisoner was fully dead. Pilate granted Joseph's request. In verse 46, "So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid."
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.